Law is Cool Podcast, Episode 15. Welcome to the Law is Cool Podcast. My name is Devin Johnston. So you say you want a dissolution. On September 7th this year, the Prime Minister sought and obtained a dissolution of Parliament, which triggered a federal election from Governor-General Michael Jean. Well, this was in apparent contradiction to at least the spirit of a fixed election date law that the Conservative government had put into place. Well, now the federal government is being brought to court over it. A group called Democracy Watch has filed an application for judicial review in the Federal Court of Canada. They're seeking a declaration that the current election is illegal. Well, as you can imagine, a number of constitutional scholars have weighed in on the issue. Errol P. Mendez of the University of Ottawa seems to think that the election might be illegal, while the dean of the Osgoode Hall Law School, Patrick Monahan, thinks that there's a hole so big in the fixed election date law that you could drive a federal election right through it. In order to help me get my head around some of the legal issues at play here, I spoke to Dr. Gerald Heckman. He's a professor at the Robson Hall Faculty of Law, where he teaches constitutional and administrative law. His research is focused on a broad area of public law, and he recently obtained his PhD from Osgoode Hall. I spoke to Professor Heckman at his office at the University of Manitoba. Professor Heckman, I'll start by just asking you to explain sort of the legal framework that governs the calling of elections in Canada, just to sort of set the stage for us.
Certainly. I think the starting point is really the Constitution Act of 1867, known as the British North America Act, or the BNA Act. And Section 50 of the BNA Act provides that every House of Commons will continue for 5 years after the date of the last election, unless the House is dissolved sooner by the Governor General. But the elected Governor General doesn't have an unfettered discretion to dissolve Parliament whenever she wants. The preamble of the BNA Act recognizes that our Constitution is similar in principle to that of the United Kingdom. And in practice, that means that Canada has inherited a number of unwritten constitutional conventions that either limit or govern the exercise of the powers that are set out in the text of the Constitution, and that includes the power of the Governor General to dissolve Parliament. And one of those conventions is the Convention of Responsible Government, which requires the Governor General to follow lawful and constitutional advice that's tendered by the Federal Cabinet and the Prime Minister as the head of Cabinet. So in other words, the Governor General can only dissolve Parliament at the request of the Prime Minister. And there are really only two circumstances in which a Prime Minister can make that request. First, when the Prime Minister and his Cabinet have lost the confidence of the House, typically in a minority government situation, when a budget or a very important, perhaps, government bill is defeated. And at that point, the Prime Minister can either resign and make way for a new Cabinet and government, or can ask the Governor General to dissolve Parliament and call an election. The second situation is when the Prime Minister and Cabinet still enjoy the confidence of the House, typically in a majority government situation. And sitting Prime Ministers with majority governments have often called elections before the five-year time limit, essentially for strategic reasons, because they're leading the polls. And it's the manipulation of election dates by governments who still enjoy the confidence of the House that's been criticized as unfair, and that has led in several provinces and at the federal level to fixed election date laws. Now, in fact, the current Conservative government proposed a fixed election date law because they believed it would provide for fair election campaigns and for greater transparency, because it would allow parties and voters to prepare for elections. And in 2007, the Elections Act was amended to provide that the next federal election would only take place on October 19th of 2009, and then every 4 years after that. The catch was that the amendment also said that nothing in the law affected the powers of the Governor General, including the power to dissolve Parliament at her discretion. So according to the Conservative government who proposed the bill, that provision would allow a minority government defeated in a confidence vote to advise the Governor General to dissolve Parliament before the fixed election date. And the provision was also necessary from a constitutional point of view, because the Constitution Act of 1982 stipulates that the powers of the Governor General can't be amended without the unanimous consent of Parliament and the provincial legislatures.
Well, as we all know, we're in a federal election campaign right now, so I'm wondering if you can sort of
explain to us what happened in September that led to the current situation where we found ourselves in an election campaign.
Well, Prime Minister Harper decided that he wanted to call an election. His government had not been defeated on a confidence vote because the House of Commons wasn't sitting. So, in theory, his government still had the confidence of the House. And the reasons offered by the Conservative government for the election call was that the minority parliament wasn't working, that it was dysfunctional. Now, a number of observers have stated that the move was strategic, primarily designed to hold an election before Canada's economic situation worsened, which is never good for the governing party, and before opposition parties could get their act together. So the implication of those comments is that the Harper government election call was precisely what the fixed election date law had sought to prevent, the strategic manipulation of the timing of elections. And if that's correct, it seems that the Conservative government may have violated the spirit of its own bill in calling the election.
Well, as we know, Democracy Watch has now brought an application for judicial review in the federal court. And I guess the million-dollar question that's on everybody's mind is, did the government break the law when it called this election?
Well, that's certainly what Democracy Watch, an Ottawa-based NGO that advocates for accountability in government, is alleging. They're challenging the legality of the federal elections. And their main argument is that Prime Minister Harper contravened the Elections Act by advising the Governor General to call an election before the October 2009 date when he hadn't yet lost the confidence of the House. Similarly, Democracy Watch is arguing that in dropping the election writ in those circumstances, the Governor General and Council also contravened the Act. Now, it's quite a controversial question. Some observers, notably Osgoode Hall Law Dean Patrick Monaghan, have argued that the exemption in the Elections Act that preserves the Governor General's discretion to call an election on the Prime Minister's advice is really a full answer to the claim that the election call was illegal. And his argument is that the Elections Act does not clearly prohibit the Prime Minister from advising the Governor General to call an early election, even though the Conservative government clearly said that that was its objective in amending the Elections Act. So, to some, the government's defense may be a rather cynical one, and that would be that the goal or the spirit of the law was to prevent the manipulation of election dates by a government that still has the confidence of the House for strategic advantage, but the actual terms of the law that Parliament enacted don't achieve that purpose, and therefore the Conservative government could legally break at least its political commitment and call an early election without breaking the law. Democracy Watch's second argument is that the calling of an election by a party that still has the confidence of the House to achieve a strategic advantage is a violation of Section 3 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and that's the right to vote. So they claim that early elections deprive Canadians of a fair election, essentially for the very reasons that the Conservative government offered in favor of the fixed election amendment, and that is that it prevents voters and opposition parties from adequately preparing for an election, among other reasons. Now, there may be an uphill battle on that aspect of the case. The power of the Prime Minister, as I was saying earlier, to advise the Governor General to call an election arises from a constitutional convention that's recognized as part of our constitutional order by the preamble of the 1867 Constitution Act. It's been part of our Constitution for a very long time. And Democracy Watch is essentially asking the court to use one part of Canada's Constitution, Section 3 of the Charter, to attack another part of the Constitution. So courts may not feel comfortable doing that and may actually seek whenever possible to try and reconcile all of the parts of the Constitution. But it's certainly going to be a case to watch in the coming days.
Professor Heckman, I want to just ask you one last question. It's sort of tangentially related to the topic at hand, but we've talked about how constitutional conventions play a part in Canada's constitutional framework. And what I'm wondering is, if a government wanted to make substantial changes to those conventions, how would they go about doing that? Is that something that would require an act of parliament and the approval of the provinces, or how would they go about doing that?
I think that's a very interesting question. What we've got to remember is that the Constitution of Canada is actually defined in the Constitution Act of 1982, and the definition essentially goes, the Constitution of Canada includes, and then it states a number of documents. But the important part of that section, I think, is the word includes. And essentially what that means is that our Constitution includes both the written texts and the unwritten constitutional conventions. And so if you want to make a change to the Constitution of Canada, and that would include unwritten conventions, changes now, since 1982, can only be brought pursuant to an amending formula. And so just hypothetically, if we wanted to change a convention that governs the power of the Governor General to call an election to dissolve Parliament, that's a change to the Constitution, even though it's an unwritten part of the Constitution. That would require unanimous consent of the federal Parliament and provincial legislatures.
Very interesting. Well, Professor Heckman, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I'm sure that our listeners will find this very helpful to them as we follow the case through the court system.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Gerald Heckman, a professor of law at the Robson Hall Faculty of Law at the University of Manitoba. Well, that wraps things up for today's show, but keep listening in to the Law is Cool podcast here at lawiscool.com.